Joe College by Tom Perrotta. I don't know, I said. I did really good on the SATs, much better than I expected. This was my standard answer whenever anyone at home asked me how I'd gotten into Yale. It was much easier to write it off as a fluke than to go into all the other stuff, the AP classes I'd taken, the papers I'd written for extra credit, the stupid clubs I'd joined just so I could list them on my application.
But it's hard work, right? They give you a lot of homework, Cindy asked.
The word homework seemed jarring to me. It had dropped out of my vocabulary the day I graduated from high school. I didn't know what homework was, I admitted. High school's just a joke in comparison.
It must be fun, though, living in a dorm and everything.
Oh, it's okay. The food's a little scary.
I did really bad in high school, she said. My mother was sick a lot, and then I got involved with this older guy. Before I knew it, the 4 years were gone, and I hadn't really learned anything. Now I feel so stupid all the time.
An older guy. Just the phrase made me a little queasy.
I was the cashier at the Metamart, and he was one of the supervisors.
I remembered seeing her a lot at the Metamart back when we were in high school, thinking she seemed more at home behind the register than she did walking the halls of Harding.
How long did you go out? 2 years.
She looked away. All life seemed to have drained out of her.
He was married and everything. You must think I'm horrible.
I reached for her face, gently steering it in my direction. She was teary-eyed, but happy to be kissed again. And this time I tried some new strategies, nibbling on her lips and licking up and down the salty length of her neck. Gettysburg by Shelby Foote. Pickett's Charge. There was, in fact, a certain amount of politeness as the two brigades came together. Tennesseans on one hand and Virginians on the other, under circumstances designed to favor havoc. Southern courtesy had never been more severely tried, yet such protest as was heard was mild in tone. It was here that the classic Confederate line was spoken.
Move on, cousins! You are drawing the fire our way!
Armistead was hard on Garnett's heels by now, and Kemper's men had drifted left, not only in an attempt to keep in touch with the latter's contracting line, but also in obedience to the natural inclination to flinch from the increasingly effective fire directed at their exposed flank from the little round top, as well as from the south end of the Federal Ridge, where McGreevy's 7 batteries were massed. From close in rear of his advancing troops, Pickett saw his and Pettigrew's lead brigades, crowded into a blunted wedge, perhaps 500 yards in width, surge across the road and its 2 fences, taking severe losses from the opening blasts of canister loosened by guns that had been silent up till now, and begin their climb up the slope toward the low stone wall behind which the blue infantry was crouched. I Can Make You Sleep by Paul McKenna. Emotional Intelligence. We've looked at how to get your mind to start converting your worries into a plan for action. With a bit of time and reflection, and using the exercises I've shown you, you could get a sense of proportion about problems and challenges, and a lot of little difficulties just melt away. All that means is that you really can drift off to sleep without being stopped by needless distractions. But sometimes there are things that seem stubborn. They won't stop nagging you. What do we do about feelings and ideas that just won't go away? Apart from the stuff that we've now dealt with, there are 2 sorts of things that keep your mind busy: inspiration and emotions. Inspiration. Sometimes we don't sleep because we suddenly have a great idea. It might be irritating that you have your flash of inspiration just as you want to go to sleep, but there's a reason why ideas come at that time. Life can be busy, so you don't always have time to get in touch with your creativity. So when you have a bit of peace and quiet and there's nothing urgent to do, Your unconscious mind takes the chance to present you with the results of your creative potential. There's a very simple way to deal with this. Keep a pen and a pencil by your bed and write down your inspiration. Once you've made your notes or sketch, you can relax knowing your idea won't be lost if you forget it. It's not just great artists who have great ideas. Of course, it's not the case that every flash of inspiration is as brilliant the next day as you thought it was the night before. But sometimes those ideas contain the seeds of brilliance. It's almost like making an agreement with your unconscious mind. If you make a note of it, you're more likely to take action so your mind won't need to wake you. Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck. Lenny lumbered to his feet and disappeared in the brush. George lay where he was and whistled softly to himself. There were sounds of splashing down the river in the direction Lenny had taken. George stopped whistling and listened. "Poor bastard," he said softly, and then went on whistling again. In a moment, Lenny came crashing back through the brush. He carried one small willow stick in his hand. George sat up. "All right," he said brusquely. "Give me that mouse." But Lenny made an elaborate pantomime of innocence.
What mouse, George? I ain't got no mouse."
George held out his hand. "Come on, give it to me. You ain't putting nothing over." Lenny hesitated, backed away, looked wildly at the brush line as though he contemplated running for his freedom. George said coldly, "You gonna give me that mouse, or do I have to sock you?"
"Give you what, George?"
"You know goddamn well what. I want that mouse." Lenny reluctantly reached into his pocket. His voice broke a little.
I don't know why I can't keep it. It ain't nobody's mouse. I didn't steal it. I found it lying right beside the road."
George's hand remained outstretched. Slowly, like a terrier who doesn't want to bring a ball to its master, Lenny approached, drew back, approached again. George snapped his fingers sharply, and at the sound, Lenny laid the mouse in his hand.